They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call an old man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Another thing that I want to point out here is that they imposed all these rules and regulations that they themselves didn't follow. You know, how ironic is that? You know, they loved the best places in the synagogues. They made themselves look good. But inward, you know, like it says in the scripture that, you know, they're like whitewashed tombs, Jesus called them. On the outward, they look good, but inside, they're like dead man's bones. Exactly. That's a military term, too. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have just established that rule with you, Roger. But hey, if anyone wants to interject at any moment, you're free to do so. If it enhances the teaching, I'm not against that. Okay, Roger? Okay. So here, the old covenant is obsolete and the new covenant has been established. Christians are not obligated to keep the law of Moses. All right, the second part, we're going to go to verse 18 through 19 and reestablishing. It says here, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. In this verse, Paul is warning the Colossians to take heed of those who would introduce the worship of angels as mediators between God and man, or God and them. And believe it or not, as I was studying this, you know, we're all familiar with angels. In fact, people have had experiences with angels. We had a couple angels in the church, too, at one time. But I'll never forget the story my wife told me years and years and years ago when she worked at, while we were dating, we weren't even engaged yet. We were, she was working at this market, and she worked in the deli. And at the time, her niece was dying. She had a lot of physical complications. She had a lot of defects when she was born, and she was in the hospital. They didn't expect her to live. And Michelle was taking it really, really hard. She was distraught. She was just very, very upset about it. And she said one day she was at work. She's slicing meat, you know, for a customer. And she turns around, and there's two guys there. And I've heard this before. I mean, as far as describing angels, she said there was two guys there dressed in trench coats with cowboy hats on. And they weren't there before. And all they said to her was, your niece is going to be okay. And she, like, was taken aback by that. And she just kind of, like, you know, was soaking it all in. And she turned around to get the meat she had just sliced to give to the other customer, not the two cowboys. And as soon as she turned around, they were gone. And she was like, there's no way that they could have left that fast, because the way the counter was situated, there's just nowhere to go. There's aisles. And she said, they just vanished. So there are angels. And the Bible talks about angels. But as I was doing the study, I came across this. Interesting fact. You know, it was common knowledge among the Jewish people in the first century that the law of God was presented to Moses by angels and not directly by God himself. This man Josephus, who was a Jewish priest and a historian of the first century and an expert in Jewish beliefs at the time, he said this, "We have learned the noblest of our doctrines and the holiest of our laws from the angels sent by God." Now that's a little deep right there. And it took me a while to kind of comprehend that. You know, I was, you know, we're all familiar with the Ten Commandments and how they were delivered. And we all led to believe that it was God who delivered, you know, through Moses. And then to have the angels thrown there in the picture, it kind of threw me off a little bit. But if you go with me to Acts, verse 7:53, it says here, and this again is Paul, the account of Stephen here, says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who receive the law as delivered by angels, and did not keep it. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, it says this: "For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution." So another example of how angels came into play here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. Is the music always this loud on Sunday up here?
Yes.
Wow.
It's, I can't hear you.
I know, it's distracting for me. I'm trying to... There's a part of me that's going, okay. I don't want to speak, I want to play. So this is it, Bob. No more classes up here. No more. My foot's up here going like this, and all of a sudden I'm listening. Is he doing the right beat? This is very distracting. It's the musician in me, I can't help it. Okay, 3:19 says, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made and was put in place through angels by an intermediary." You see that the angels there and how they had like some kind of input there. But on the second part here, verse 19, it says they had lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God caused it to grow. And the point I want to make out here, bring it to attention, is even as the head and body must remain attached for strength and growth, so must Christ and the church remain intimately related one to the other. Experience of intimacy with Christ, with the real sensation of his purifying love for us and within us that causes us to grow. So it's important, you know, that we have that connection with the church. You know, this church has a heavy emphasis on becoming a member, you know. And why is that? Anybody can answer that? Why is it important to become a member of this church? To grow. Pardon me? Yeah, be part of the body.
Say that. Are we recording today or not?
I don't know. I don't think. Well, that's good. So Kenny said his answer was to grow, to be connected to the body. Was it Esther? Who said that? Alma. I couldn't tell. I had my head down. Remember, I got one ear over there, one ear over here. Alma. I knew it was Alma. I know. See? This is the first time and the last time. But...
I'm closer to my church family than I am to my regular family.
Yeah, and that's true. You know, I have a lot of relatives that live in Chicago and Texas. You know, we don't see them that often. But now that I'm in Christ, it's like we don't have anything in common anymore, you know. And it doesn't mean that we're to be separated from them, because how are they going to hear the gospel? Right. You know, we still have to go and be a light. You know, I'll never forget when my mom passed away 5 years ago. There were a lot of relatives that came up for the funeral that I hadn't seen since I was like a little guy, you know. And you're trying to remember who they are, but then we had the church family there, and we had the family from my mom. And that was just in having discussions with these people, you find that you don't have anything in common with them. It's like, what do we talk about, you know? They're talking about things of the world, and they're trying to suck you into it, and it's just not working. You know, the spirit in with you is just finding it kind of offensive, you know, and you just don't want to hear it. So it's important to have that connection with the body, and you can't be connected without being established as far as a member. You have to be a member of the church. You have that covering, you know. You have that, you know. You can go to them for advice. That's where the pastors are here. You have elders and go to them for advice.
And also, we're having a membership class coming up next month. If anybody knows anyone that's interested, sign up.
When is that?
First two Sundays in November.
Can I come to that?
No.
No, I'm not. Alma, to answer that question, I'm not.
Some of you guys.
Well, there's a lot of information in there. It gives you, you know, what the church believes. You know, it goes through a lot. It's been years since I've taken it. Maybe I should
actually
take it again.
It would be a good idea for anybody that wants to come and sit in on the class. I was just kidding. Everybody is, of course, welcome to come. It's you get a great teaching from Pastor Don on church doctrine.
Well, the last part I want to point attention to is verses 20 through 23. It says here, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgences. So if as Christians we're dead to these observances of the law, why are we subject to them? We're not. Under the law, there was a ceremonial pollution, you know, back then when they believed that by touching a dead body or anything offered to an idol or by tasting any forbidden meats, there's nothing of true devotion in these things, but the gospel teaches us to worship God in spirit and in truth and not by ritual observances. And it's funny, I was thinking, being raised Catholic, you see the contrast for those of you who was raised Catholic, came from a Catholic background. A lot of us have. You know, you go to a Catholic church, there's all these ritualistic things. Sit up, stand down, kneel, you know, over and over, and it's like redundant. After, over time, it gets redundant, and it gets kind of boring when you hear the priest speak. Like, most of them speak in a monotone voice. They got the guy in the background doing some kind of chant. You know, it's just, I'll never forget one time, true story, after I first gotten saved, I went to visit my sister Sherry in Chicago. Now, the night before, I had asked her, I said, where's the closest church? You know, because she had moved to a new area that I wasn't familiar with. Well, she said, there's a church. Now, I was already saved. She said, there's a church down the street. It's like a block from here. She says, that's the closest one. So I'm thinking, well, I could probably get dressed in the morning, go down there and you know, enjoy a teaching. I didn't know if it was a Catholic church, a Christian church. I didn't know it was a Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. I didn't know what it was. She just told me there's a church. Now, she wasn't saved yet. But yeah, what does she know? And so I go to this church, and it's a Catholic church. And I'll never forget. So, you know, those of you who have been born again, when you first get saved, you're like on fire. Like, you're just like, you're so sold out. I mean, I remember when I got saved, I had gotten rid of all of my secular music. I, like, tore these posters I had on the wall. I just went and cleaned the house. So I went to this church, and while I'm there, in worship, you know, and they just sing the hymns. You know, they got an organ. And so and during worship, I'm like, I got my hands up like this. I'm just like, I didn't care. I'm just like, this is Jesus we're worshiping here, you know. It's not a statue up there. And I got my hands raised up in worship. I got my hands raised up in prayer. And then the priest says, okay, let's say a prayer to, you know, St. Michael, whatever. So I'm instead of praying to St. Michael, I'm praying for, like, my sister to get saved. My brother-in-law to get saved, my mom, my brothers and all that, you know, and I'm praying out loud. And you never had that feeling like when your eyes are closed that someone's looking at you? And now, I wasn't like the Pharisees. I wasn't trying to draw attention to myself, but I just had that enthusiasm. You know, I had a zeal for God. But I was just in the wrong environment. I wasn't in a Catholic church. But the thing of it is, you know, I didn't care what people thought of me. I was there for God. You know, and that's the thing we have to understand, you know, with the comparison and contrast of this title. You know, you got all these ritual observances. You got all these things they believed, and the Pharisees demanded that the Colossians, that Paul's addressing the Colossians and tell them, you guys got to get it together. You know, you're either following Christ or you're not. You know, and I'll never forget, you know, in that Catholic church, you know, just having that feeling like, man, I'm like the center of attention, but I'm really not trying to be the center of attention. I was just there to get God. You know, I was there to touch Him. You know, and I'll never forget just being there, singing the songs. You know, even though they were kind of older songs, I was just there to experience Him. You know, and it was just a different environment for me. And it just gives you an example how, you know, we're not bound to those things anymore, the law or the religion, the religious practices, you know. We're a new creation in Christ, are we not? Yes. You know, think of how, like, I'll give you an example. Now I'm looking at Kim. She worships the Lord in her own special way. She's very outgoing. She's very exuberant. She is special. She loves to dance. But in a way, that's prophetic because it it motivates other people to do the same thing. You know, just abandon yourself. You know, you think of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's very humbling. I'm going to talk about a little humility. It's humbling to think about what he did for us on the cross. And we didn't even deserve it. You know, you think of his sacrifice. You know, it's a sacrifice getting up in the morning, coming to church. It's a sacrifice coming in here and practicing with the worship team. It's a sacrifice teaching. It's a sacrifice serving. It's a sacrifice, you know, counseling. We can go on and on and on, but our sacrifice is for him. We're not doing it to please man. We're doing it to please God. And which one holds more weight, really? You know, we were just listening to Keith Tusey came to our house Friday night, and I was talking to Cody before the class, and one of the things he said, and this gives you an idea how we're all connected, you know, where it says here in this verse how when we died to Christ, you know, even though we still belong to the world, we didn't submit to its rules. We're all connected by every ligament held together by sinews, and we grow with Christ. And one of the analogies that he, or the stories he told was, he was in ninth grade, a freshman in high school, and signed up to take an auto shop class. So he said, one of the things you know you got to realize is having a bunch of 15 and 16 year olds in this class that think they know everything, but they really don't know nothing. And I could relate because I got a 15 year old at home who thinks he knows everything, but he don't know nothing. You know, who's that wrestler that said you don't know Jack? Who was that? And he doesn't know Jack. You know, because I was there. Weren't we all there at one time? You know, Shane. Kenny, how was Shane at that age, at 15 years old? I heard perfect, and I heard he's still that way. So who are you going to believe? So he's sharing the story of how the first day of auto shop class, he tells all the students, okay, I want you to, he wheels out four or five engines on engine stands. He says, okay, I want you guys to tear these engines down. Just take them all apart. So naturally, you know, these kids are probably all puffed up with pride, like, yeah, I can do that. So they take this engine apart, and you got bolts everywhere. You got pieces of engine everywhere on the floor, and it took them a few days to take it apart. But then he said, here's the kicker. Now put it all back together. Now can you imagine the looks on their faces when he said that? I mean, I would have been like, my jaw would have been on the floor also. He said the one thing that he remembers distinctly is that they were trying, if you're familiar with a piston, right, Roger? What's a piston? That's the one right there, the rings. I took auto shop in class for 2 years, and there's these rings that go around the pistons, which I guess if you don't have the rings, then there's no compression. Yeah, well, they were trying to slap them together, and then, get this, they couldn't get the rings to fit. You need a special tool to get those rings compressed, to get them inside the cylinder, to get them in the motor, the block. So he said, well, since we couldn't get them in there, they're like bashing them. They're trying to force them in there. They just decided, we don't need these rings. Look, it's thin, it's small. How important is this part? You know. So they decided to just throw the rings to the side, smash the pistons in there. Well, they went to go fire the engine up. Guess what? It didn't work. So it's important. The point I want to make here is that it's important that we're all connected. You know, we can't think to ourselves, like I was sharing with Cody, we all have the different giftings, different talents, different abilities that are vital to the body. You know, and once God gives us those gifts, it's up to us whether we use them or not. Whether it's teaching, whether it's singing, whether it's dancing, whether it's playing the drums, whether it's what? it all plays a part. And you can't say, the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Because it all plays a part in the church. In order for the church to function the way it functions. And Christ is the head over everything. You know, so it's important to understand that. And I was thinking how, you know, with this new home meeting, we've got some new faces. And the first day there, I saw some new ones. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be calling on some of you guys to teach. Once I said that, it was like, it reminded me of Ashley's toes the other day when she came to home group. No, I'll share the story. She came to home group and she had these flats on, So I guess she's kind of conscious of her feet. I mean, I saw her feet. The feet look like feet. I mean, they weren't. And now she's got them covered up with her jacket. So her thing was she didn't want to walk barefoot around the house. I'm like, I do. It doesn't matter to me. Mark does. You know, everybody walks barefoot. So she brought these socks to cover up her feet. And she lost the socks. She couldn't find them. So I come back after dropping the kids off, and I look and I see her feet. And so she's sitting there like this in the chair, and she's like contorting her toes like this, like trying to hide them. Like, are you okay? You know, you need a blanket, you know? But, you know, when I said that to some of these young men that I'm going to call on you to teach, I'll never forget what Mark Woolen said. You know, he said, I'm ready right now. You know, I've spoken like a true warrior, like a trooper, you know.
I wonder where he got that attitude.
Exactly, exactly. And I said, you know what? I've never asked you, but I'm going to ask you now, you know. So, you know, everybody has a gift, you know. And the funny thing is, once you hear people like that, that are normally reserved, a little quiet, that don't talk a whole lot, once you hear them talk, you're like, wow, you got a lot to say. And what we have to say is very, very good, you know. So the point is, you know, drawing out those gifts too. You know, I even called on Joe VR and Matt back there. I says, I'm going to even get you guys up here to teach. And they turn white as that board back there, you know. I said, I'll tell you what, you guys can even use like a sports analogy and throw that in there. See, Matt's smiling already. He's ready to go. So it's important that we realize that, you know, humility in Christ, and then having that understanding that, you know, we're all part of the body, we're all connected. Hopefully that encourages you, inspires you to get involved, you know, to teach, you know, in the Sunday school. I know Ricardo was talking the other day when we were at the home group. I didn't even know this. He plays the saxophone. You know, I'd mentioned to him, I said, you know what, that's a talent. We could use you on the worship team, you know. That would enhance the worship. And then Rachel Wydick, she's not here. A few years ago, she did a special out of the blue. Now, that's another one that you normally wouldn't think would have a gift to sing. But many of you heard her sing. She's got a gift.
Yes.
And that first time I heard her sing, I pulled her aside. I says, you know what? I says, you should be on the worship team. And what was her response? No, not me. Not me. That's, you know, let somebody else do that. But now look where she's at, you know, through the encouragement of me and I'm sure Kathy, some of the other, her parents, you know, people that have heard her sing. That's a gift, you know. And now we've got, like Mike Hill came out of the blue. He started playing the drums. And that, huh? So he's getting there. He reminds me a lot of myself when I first started. Very timid, very, you know, cautious, you know, I don't want to screw things up. But I told him, I said, listen, the best advice I can give you is just you stay on beat, and the more you play, the more comfortable you feel at it, the more you're going to kind of venture out there and get a little more, you know, brave, you know. And it'll come. I'm confident it'll come. So just be encouraged, like I said, with being humble in Christ is knowing your place in Christ, but then also knowing your place in the church. And then just be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And let them use you. If you got a talent, don't hide it.
Amen.
Don't keep it to yourself. Any comments, suggestions, jokes, magic tricks?
Questions? Roger? All right, you've done a great job. If Roger has no questions, you've explained yourself perfectly, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. All right, you've got one more job before you leave, Bobby. Who would you like to close today?
Joe VR.
Where's he at?
Right back there.
Oh, okay. I see him. Broadway Joe. I was just thinking that. A lot of similarities there.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that we're all able to meet here today and learn from Bobby. And I pray that we all take what we learned today and use it in our lives. And I pray that this rest of the service today would go well. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.